And we'll be using this as a bit of a launching off point to talk about the theme or the idea of the shepherd and the sheep this morning. This is a bit of a familiar passage, but it's interesting to see how Jesus himself uses this idea of shepherd and sheep. I'm going to read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the precious shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, that one shepherd you have set to reign and guide and lead and feed and care for the one flock which he has purchased with his own blood. Lord, we pray that you would be among us this morning as we read your word, as we hear it preached, as we reflect on your role as a shepherd of your people and our position as sheep. Bless us and keep us, and we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, the New Testament is filled, it's brimming with the truth that is found in the Old Testament scriptures. Not only are there principles to be found in the New Testament, but there's also quotations, allusions, and references abound as the writers of the New Testament, even Jesus himself, think about what is found in the Old. And honestly, if we are unaware of the rich truths and images of the Old Testament, much of what we find in the New Testament, as though it is beautiful, will not be as full or as beautiful as it might be if we see where they are drawing these truths from. And yet, when we have the Old Testament scriptures and images resonating in our minds and hearts, the New Testament really just explodes with color and with liveliness, which we often don't expect. And though this shouldn't surprise us, however, because our God is the author of both the Old and the New Testament, it's the same Spirit who gave inspiration to those who wrote, all who wrote his word. And so that being the case, the Lord is tying these things together. And what we find is that the Old Testament is the foundation upon which the New is built. And one of the images or ideas that is expressed in the New Testament that finds its foundation in the Old is that image of the shepherd and the sheep and their relationship with one another. Now we see it here in John 10, Jesus drawing heavily upon this shepherd-sheep relationship idea from Old Testament scriptures. And having a better understanding of this truth, having a better picture of it in our minds, can bring greater color and depth of understanding and appreciation for what Jesus is saying to these people here in the first century, but also to you and me sitting here today. But I think it will also help us have a fuller understanding of the work and role of a good shepherd, an under-shepherd, especially in light of our congregational meeting today as we seek to call another pastor, another under-shepherd of the Lord. Those under-shepherds should always be seeking, by the Lord's grace, to conform themselves to the pattern of the good shepherd. And so we'll see that pattern this morning and pray by the Lord in His grace would grant that pattern of life to us as His shepherds as the session. And so this morning, I'm going to spend some time examining this idea of the shepherd-sheep motif in the Old Testament with the hope that we won't only have this in mind as we read the New Testament and as we think about another pastor, but ultimately that you will remember and see that the Lord, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, is your good and dear shepherd. And that's the main point for you this morning. Remember and see that the Lord Jesus is your good shepherd. He is your good shepherd. And in order to see that, we need to first look at how the Lord is the shepherd of Israel and how His people are His sheep. Of the many images given in the Bible depicting the relationship between the Lord and His people, none is as prominent as that of the shepherd-sheep relationship. Over and over again, God's people are referred to as sheep. We often use one of the calls to worship, Psalm 100, that highlights this reality. In that psalm, we read, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Psalm 95, 7 likewise tells us, "For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Isaiah 53, 6 also says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Similarly, Psalm 119, David confesses, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." The people of God and individual believers are referred to time and time again as sheep. Sheep in the Lord's pasture, which makes the Lord the shepherd. We see that over and over again in the scriptures as well. Psalm 80, verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." All of Psalm 23 refers to the Lord in this way. And in verse 1, we sing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so we address God as the shepherd. But even God Himself takes the title of a shepherd and promises to tend and care for His sheep. In Ezekiel 34, He speaks, "Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. I will feed my flock, and I will make them to lie down," says the Lord God. It's clear from the Old Testament that God wants us to view the relationship between Him and the church through the lens of this shepherd-sheep relationship. And it's in this context of the shepherd-sheep relationship that God desires you to understand your connection with Him as well. And the reason this is the case is because one of the best expressions and examples of who we are, and more than that, who God is found in this picture of shepherd and sheep. You get to know yourself more, you get to know God more, you get to know your relationship with Him more when you see it in terms of the shepherd-sheep relationship. And so if you are a sheep, that means that, well, you're cute, right? You're fluffy, you're cuddly. Well, maybe not so much. I've met some bristly sheep, or people, that is. But sheep are often vulnerable, right? Sheep do better together. Sheep often don't function well or survive long on their own. It's better for them to be together. If you're a sheep, that means you are perhaps not very strong. If you're a sheep, perhaps you're easily frightened and made anxious. If you're a sheep, you're prone to wander and go astray. And if you're a sheep, when you do go astray, you need to be rescued. It's often the case that a sheep is not going to fight its way back into where it needs to be, but someone needs to go after it. Someone needs to help it and minister to it and comfort it and bring it home. Sheep generally cannot save themselves. That's the condition of a sheep. That's our condition as sheep. But the shepherd is a defender. He protects the sheep. He guards the sheep. He sacrifices his own comfort and even in some instances his own life for the sake of the sheep. And so he is selfless. He loves the sheep. He is kind and gentle. He is not harsh or cruel so that the sheep don't cower away from him, so that they don't scatter from him. But he is known by the sheep. And he can lead them. He can guide them. He can feed them. He can set them at peace. He pursues the sheep when they are lost, and he carries the ones who are broken and injured home upon his shoulders. This is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. And so the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is a close one, one established upon trust and love, as we heard Jesus talk about. If the sheep don't know the person who's taking care of them, they're not going to want to follow him. They're going to run from him. And so the shepherd builds a relationship of trust with his sheep. And it's one that consistently, a shepherd consistently demonstrates the shepherd's care for the sheep. And so we can learn a lot about ourselves and about God and about our relationship to him through the shepherd-sheep imagery. And one of the things that we need to see and highlight about God, and one of the things that this imagery helps us understand about him, is that he is a good and tender-hearted, loving God. And we know this because the Lord is a good, very tender-hearted, and loving shepherd. The Lord God does everything a good shepherd is supposed to do. And we have a beautiful description of that in Psalm 23, don't we? If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23 and you get a picture of what this very good shepherd does, the way he cares for his people. Psalm 23, we see that the Lord is our shepherd and that he provides for all of our needs. We see that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in lack of anything because he cares for us. He provides for the things that we need. But we also see that he grants to his sheep rest. He gives them peace and he makes sure that they are nourished and sustained. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. We also see that he provides protection and security and comfort to his sheep when they're in trouble or danger or death is near. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He sets his sheep at ease when enemies threaten. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You could imagine how on edge the sheep would be if they are brought to a place where they're about to eat, and yet there is a wolf prowling around them, ready to attack at any moment. The sheep are going to be on edge, not being able to eat very well. And yet when the shepherd interposes himself between the sheep and the wolf, they can be at ease because they trust the shepherd. They know that that wolf is not going to get to them because the shepherd stands between them. and he will defend them, and he'll drive off the wolf so they can rest at peace and be at ease. He treats his sheep as precious, and he treasures them. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And he fosters a great sense of trust and hope and love for them among his sheep, so much so that they are convinced that surely goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their lives. And he lets nothing come between him and his sheep, so that they are never separated from him. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a very good shepherd God's people have. And as if this were not enough, we read in Isaiah 40:11 that he is gentle and compassionate towards his sheep. He says there, he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Brothers and sisters, this is a depiction of the Lord and his heart and his care toward his people. These are descriptions of the Lord and his heart and his care toward you. And the question that perhaps many of you may need to ask this morning of this shepherd, of this Lord, and even of yourself, is this the Lord you have in mind when you think of your God? Is this the view that you have of the Lord? Do you view him in this way? Because I think sometimes you may be tempted, and I may be tempted, to see God only as one who is harsh and swift to punish when you step out of line. But is that consistent with the image of the shepherd that we've considered so far? No, the shepherd shows that he is tender and loving. He is patient and gentle with you. Maybe you think that you only face trouble in this life and only bad things ever happen to you. But the truth is, God works all things together for your good, and the image of the shepherd convinces us that he has not led us wrongly or led us astray, but goodness and mercy will follow you all of your days. Or maybe you count yourself to be unwanted in the kingdom of God, that somehow God begrudgingly saved you and grows weary of you as one of his children, as one of his sheep. But the image of the shepherd shows us that the Lord counts you as precious and dear to him, Jesus even articulating that he's willing to leave the 99 to go after the one lost sheep. Every one is precious in his sight and desired and wanted. Perhaps you fear the threats of evils of this world towards you. Well, the image of the shepherd reminds us that he provides protection and security and comfort in trials and afflictions, so you can greatly rejoice. Not to mention the promise to take you through the veil of death with victory over the grave. And perhaps your heart is concerned that you may have fallen from the Lord's grace, that perhaps because of your sin you will not make it into heaven after all. Well, consider that in light of the image of the shepherd and the sheep. The image of the shepherd shows us that the Lord brings us peace. In fact, in Jesus, the Lord will lead us all the way home. In Jesus, God has brought you justification with him, and you have peace with God. Your shepherd has granted you rest and peace, and therefore you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a picture of the Lord's care for us that's found in this imagery of a shepherd and his sheep. Keep this image in view. Remember that the Lord is a very good, a very tender-hearted and loving shepherd toward his people and toward you. Now, as the great shepherd who dwells in heaven, God has called certain individuals to serve as his under-shepherds, to lead and guide and care for his flock. They're to be his representatives and shepherding arm upon the earth. Moses, Samuel, David were men such as these. They all served as under-shepherds of God, ruling and caring for the people. And even though they were fallen and sinful men, by the Lord's grace, they were able to serve as representatives of God himself, as good and godly shepherds like unto the Lord. But there are nevertheless evil shepherds in this world. Evil shepherds in this world, unlike Moses, Samuel, and David, and ultimately unlike God himself, wicked and evil shepherds arise among the people of God. They did that in the Old Testament as well. Shepherds who took advantage of God's people. Shepherds who cared only for themselves and not for the flock of God. Shepherds who harmed and abused the sheep. Shepherds who would forsake the flock and leave them vulnerable to danger. And the Lord speaks out against such shepherds. In Ezekiel 34, he commands the prophet to cry out against them. Listen to what he says. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the straying you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. How stark a contrast is that? These false and evil shepherds are with the kind of shepherd that the Lord is. Just think back to the descriptions of the good shepherd we considered from Psalm 23 and Isaiah 40. These shepherds are nothing like the Lord. Nothing like the good shepherd. These are evil shepherds seeking their own interest, their own gain, abusing, using, taking advantage of the people of God. And so God declares in Jeremiah 23, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. And in Zechariah 11, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. God has strong words to speak against those shepherds who neglect and abuse and use the sheep. And you can even see the response of the good shepherd Jesus in the Gospels against those who were supposed to care well for the flock, those shepherds of the sheep. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrites, he calls them. They were not caring for the sheep well, only caring for themselves. But friends, this is not just a past problem. It's not just an Old Testament problem. It's not just a first century problem. But just think of all the health and wealth, prosperity preachers and teachers today who lead their flocks into error. Or the televangelists who continually take advantage of people and their money, claiming that their giving is a great act of faith. Or even liberal pastors and churches which have compromise the truth and doctrine for the sake of unity, allowing the people to become food for evil men and heresies. Or even pastors and preachers or teachers who are otherwise orthodox in their theology, but are legalistic in their practice, and lay heavy burdens upon their people and lord their authority over them. Or men who use their role and authority to spiritually, physically, or emotionally abuse those under their care, or silence the weak and afflicted. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, Jesus says through these prophets. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock, our Lord says. I thank God that in His grace the Lord has granted to this particular congregation, this church, under shepherds who strive to know and love their God, who strive to be like this shepherd and strive to love and live to serve and care for His flock. And yet, friends, something that we need to understand is that the only reason that this description of these evil shepherds is not our description is because of the mercy and grace of God found in Jesus Christ. if he had not worked in our lives and does not continue to work in our lives, that picture in Ezekiel is our picture. If it is not for the work of Christ. What we read in Ezekiel is the description of the natural fallen bent and wicked fruit of the heart of man. And if we're not for the mercy and grace of God towards us, we would be the same. And so, congregation, pray for us. Pray for your shepherds. Pray for the under-shepherds that Christ has given to this church. But also pray for our denomination, that he would show us mercy and grant grace, that he would preserve us, and pray that God would raise up good under-shepherds for his flock, because we need his work of grace in our lives, because wicked and evil shepherds abound in our land. They do so now, and they did so in Israel's day. And such evil and wicked shepherds who took advantage of and abused and forsook the flock of God, and even those who served faithfully yet failed and fell short, they all cause within the people of God a longing for the true shepherd, a shepherd like unto the Lord. And God, in his infinite kindness and grace, purposed to send forth the ultimate good shepherd. We see that in the Old Testament, the great son of David, the Messiah, is the one great shepherd of the Lord's people. After God rebukes the merciless, vile, wicked, false shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel 34, he goes on to give the blessed promise of the great shepherd to come. Listen to his words of promise in verse 23. I will establish one shepherd over them. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said that in John 10. I will establish one shepherd over them. He shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Now, of course, these words were written far long after David had died. It wasn't David himself who would rule over them. It wasn't David himself who would feed them and be their shepherd, but it was to be great David's greater son who was to come. God had declared, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. How incredible it would have been then to hear the words of Jesus, the son of David. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jesus has come as the long-awaited Messiah shepherd. He has come to fulfill the longing of Israel. He had come to gather his lost sheep, which were spread across the globe, both Jew and Gentile alike. Jesus has come to be the one shepherd of his people, the good shepherd. And it's this Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, who grants us rest and peace and makes sure that we are nourished and sustained. Jesus makes us to lie down in green pastures, the green pastures of his word. And he leads us beside the still waters of his spirit. Jesus provides protection and security and comfort to us when trouble, danger, or death is near. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for Jesus is with us. His rod of protection and his staff, they comfort us. Jesus even gives us peace in the presence of our enemies. For Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities and enemies over us by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, forgiving all of our trespasses by his blood on the cross. And we can follow him boldly and safely, even into death, knowing that there is nothing to condemn us. And because this shepherd rose from the dead himself, we will follow him to glory and to new life forever. Jesus treats us as precious. He treasures us. He anoints our head with oil. He set his Spirit to dwell on us and to dwell in us. And his mercy is new every morning. Jesus fills us, our hearts, with a great sense of trust and hope and love for him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. If we follow after Jesus, there can be nothing else but goodness and mercy. And Jesus is gentle and compassionate towards us. He will gather us like lambs in his arm and carry us close to him. Jesus, our shepherd, has come. And he has come to lead us in the way everlasting so that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because nothing will snatch us out of his hand. Brothers and sisters, let us keep this glorious Old Testament picture of the shepherd and sheep before our eyes. Let us remember that the Lord is the shepherd of his people, and his people are his sheep. Let us remember that the Lord is a very good and very tender-hearted, loving shepherd, and that even though there are evil shepherds in this world, God promised to send his people the great Son of David as that great shepherd of the sheep. And he not only promised it, but he brought it to pass. Jesus has come, our shepherd. And so remember and see that the Lord Jesus is your good shepherd, the one in whom you can find rest for your souls. He is your shepherd. You are his sheep. And praise God for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have rescued us, that you've saved us, that you have brought those who have placed their faith in you into the fold, into the dwelling place of the Lord, because you have led us by the great shepherd, Jesus. We thank you for the beautiful truths found in your word about him. And Lord, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would cause us to think about these things and remember these things as we think about our relationship with you. And as we think about walking through this world, remind us that Jesus ever goes before us. Bless us and keep us, and give us great joy and rest, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.